actually take some more. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As we are gathering in, preparing for our time of worship, worship begins with fellowship, and fellowship leads to worship, and worship and leads to more fellowship. So it's always good. As we begin prepare for our time of corporate worship, just to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, we'll be on vacation starting next Sunday, which means there will be no Sunday school during that period, but we will have our regular morning worship and Wednesday Bible study, so beginning next week. So please pay attention, take note of that, those who are part of our regular Sunday school. Now, for Wednesday Bible study, Brother Wright is going to do a series of lessons through the book of Hebrews. So that's just to make you aware of that. All right, let us remember all of the names that are on our prayer list. Remember William and Sharon Graham. Sharon is recuperating at home after surgery. And also there is pray for Brother William's condition. He is dealing with some test results that have come back. So continue to lift both William and Sharon Graham in your prayers. Sister Tammy Lewis is asking prayer for her nephew, Caden Lauer, in his next phase of, as he's waiting for the next phase of care to be determined. Remember Sister Margaret Brown, Sister Doris Dent. She is praying for and also raising her brother, James Brunson, in prayer, who has had his right foot amputated. So many, many prayers that we want to remember. Remember all of our caregivers. And then also condolences. With sympathy, it says, condolences extended to Melvin and Thelma Miller in the loss of his aunt, Ruth Miller, of Fort Valley, Georgia. Funeral services were held on yesterday, and we continue to keep the Millers in your prayers in the days ahead, especially for his father, Timothy Miller, Sr. Let us remember, you notice on the back page, Walk for Life, October 12th. Sister Cheryl Carey is a point person for that, but that's in the back of your bulletin as well. Now, with that, do we have any first-time visitors? No first-time visitors. Good to see those who are present. I do want to have Brother Rex. Stand up, Rex. You notice the dude that's sitting over there by Diane? That's Rex, Brother Rex Davis, and I'm having him stand because he's requested membership, and so we've been working with him, and we'll continue afterwards. So welcome, Brother Rex Davis. Amen. That's the other half to Diane. Amen. So when she looks a little frustrated, All right, but we do want to welcome him, and we will look forward for his to extend the right hand of fellowship to him. If that's it, would you please turn in your Bibles to Psalms 9, and we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. Please stand for the reading of God's word if you are able, and please remain standing through our second hymn. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. May God richly bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. At this time, we will confess our Nicene Creed, which is found on page 3 of your bulletin. And let us confess our creed together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven,
and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary,
and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into the heavens, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Gracious God, we come to you in the blessed name of our Savior. We thank you for the privilege of worship and praise and prayer. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us in Christ. We thank you for the fullness of your grace and of your love in him. Build us up in him as we worship you in spirit on this day. We thank you for those with whom we worship, and we pray that everything that we say and do would bring glory and honor to your great name. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our first hymn is on page 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness. responsive reading is found on page 693 in the rear of your hymnal. 693, Salvation. What must I do to be saved?
Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died in the time. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still enemies or still sinners, Christ died for us.
Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life altogether?
Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Amen. Our final hymn is on page 185, Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners.
Thank you.
Our scripture can be found in Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. Again, that is Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. The scripture reads as follows: And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses, So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron and all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. At this time, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we're grateful today. We're grateful, God, that you love us. We're grateful, God, that you love us with the same love that you love Jesus. God, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, condescended Savior, Father God. It is he who died on the cross for our sins and lived for our righteousness. Father, thank you today for being a loving God, a great God and King. Thank you today, Father God, that our sin and shame has been nailed to the cross. Thank you, O God, that our sins have been forgiven today. Thank you, O God, for who you are and all that you've done. Thank you, O God, for the privilege of prayer this morning. God, where would we be if you didn't answer our prayers? Thank you today for mercy and for grace, Father God. Thank you for the grace that we stand in today. A position of triumph and victory today. We are your children, Father God. You have covered us. You are our strength and our refuge. We thank you, Father God, for the gifts and skills and all the talents that you've given us to give glory and honor to your name. Remember our brothers and sisters today who are sick and shut in. God, we ask that you would heal their bodies, minister to them, Father God, wherever they are. Many wanted to be here today. There are many, O God, who are caregivers today, Father God. Strengthen them, encourage their hearts, Father God, for we know that it can be a difficult job. And then there are brothers and sisters who have lost loved ones, Father God, some weeks and months and even years ago, and our hearts are still tender today. God, encourage our hearts today. Open our minds, O God. Open our ears this morning so that we may hear your preached word, Father God. Speak to us. We will know that we have been spoken to. Oh, God, have your way in this place. We're grateful this morning, Father God, that we have been adopted into your family. Our names are written in Lamb's Book of Life. The great and awesome God who placed the sun in the sky, who created us all, Father God, is intimate with all of his children. You know who we are. You know where we are geographically and spiritually, Father God. Thank you, God, for ministering to us, for speaking to us in your own way. Thank you, Father God, for Pastor and Sister Jones. We pray, God, that you watch over them continually, Father God, as they prepare to enter their month-long vacation. There are many requests in the building today, Father God. There are marriages, Father God. Strengthen them right now. Those who are single, God, strengthen and bless them right now, God. You know where we all are. You know what we need, Father God. Meet us at the point of our needs today, Father God. I pray, oh God, that our words will be seasoned with grace. That we will pray for one another, that we will love and forgive one another, Father God, and be kind to one another. Order our steps in your word, O great God and King. Have mercy upon us today, Father God. We thank you, God, for this brief moment that you've given us, this moment you've called us together into worship service, Father God, to be ministered to, Father God, to pray collectively, Father. We thank you for the sacraments, God. We thank you for vital Christian fellowship. Thank you today, God, that we are yours. We are your children called by your name, unique and special, Father God. Thank you today, Father God, for this nation. Those who rule over us, we pray for them, God. For the men and women who defend our shores, Father God. We thank you again for allowing us to come and be in this place, Father God, and to hear a word from you. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Again, is taken from the fourth chapter, book of Exodus, and we'll look at verses 27 through 31. Exodus chapter 4, beginning with verse 27. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their afflictions, they bowed their heads and worshiped. May God richly bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. We move now from that rather peculiar incident of or narrative concerning the circumcision of Moses' son, which we looked at last week. And we now come to the closing verses of chapter 4, where Moses reunites with Aaron, and then they meet with the elders, and then they meet with the congregation. So basically what we'll be looking at this morning are three meetings that Moses has prior to his face down or his showdown with Pharaoh. So three meetings. And the first one is with Aaron. Now, you'll notice that we begin with the meeting with Aaron, and there are three things that I want to cite concerning that meeting. The Lord had already prepared Moses for this, in a sense, because the first thing you'll note is that God speaks to Aaron. That's important. God has spoken to Moses and had given him his assignment, and now God speaks to Aaron. Now, remember when Moses had pushed back against his original assignment, and he said that, in fact, he said that he couldn't speak. He wasn't well spoken. And the Lord reminded him that in verse 14 in particular, the Lord reminds him that you have a brother, Aaron, who is well known as a good speaker. So Aaron will go in your place. But in any event, this is God fulfilling that. Now God has appointed Aaron. He appoints Aaron to speak. And we'll see that Aaron will be a prophet of Moses in the eyes of Pharaoh and really in the eyes of the people. And it's interesting because Aaron will speak when he meets with him, and or he's going to speak. When he meets with the elders, he'll speak when he's in the presence of all of the people. And that's the way the scenario will play out when they are in the presence of Pharaoh, that Moses will be as God to Pharaoh and Aaron will be like a prophet to Moses. But in any event, God first speaks to Aaron. It's interesting and it's important that we see that even though we know that Moses, that Aaron will be the mouthpiece through Moses, here we see that God speaks to him. So now you notice that in verse 27, it says the Lord prepares, the Lord in essence is preparing Aaron for his meeting with Moses. And so you'll notice that in verse 27, it says the Lord prepares Aaron for the assignment that he will be given by telling him that Moses is coming. Now, it's interesting. Many people have a word from God, and it involves other people who are used by God. But God has a way of putting us on the same page. So Moses has been commissioned. Aaron has been prepared, and so now the Lord speaks to Aaron to let Aaron know that he's going to be spoken to by Moses. God is not a God of confusion. He prepares Aaron for the assignment that he'll be given by Moses when he encounters Moses. But the important, which is important because it's clear that they will be on one page. In fact, it sort of reminds me of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, when Saul is converted and he's made blind. The Lord encounters him on the Damascus Road, strikes him blind. And the Lord tells Saul of Tarsus that I want you to wait to hear from me. Some people are going to speak to you on my behalf. And then later in the same chapter, he speaks to Ananias. And this is before Paul gets there. And he says, Ananias, I'm sending Saul of Tarsus to you. And he tells him, now when he comes, this is what you're supposed to do. So that, A, Saul of Tarsus is not going to be surprised when he hears a word of the Lord from Ananias. And Ananias is not going to be surprised about what he's supposed to do with this person who was formerly an enemy of the church. So in any event, God is preparing Aaron for the meeting that he will have with Moses, where he will find out the part the Lord would have each one of them play in his redeeming work of his covenant people. So the first thing is God prepares Aaron. He prepares Aaron for the meeting that he will have with Moses. The second thing worth noting here is the location. Moses is going back into the, probably eventually into the land of Goshen, which is the area where they had gathered out just on the outskirts or part of Egypt, but that's where the family had lived. Probably that's where he would go. But notice the place here where they meet, verse 27 says, is on the mountain of the Lord. Not just in Goshen, that's where they will eventually go, but where they meet is at the mountain of God, or Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai. And this is the place, of course, later where Moses would be given the Ten Commandments, where God would meet with Moses face to face, and he would receive the Ten Commandments written in stone by the finger of God. So Mount Sinai is a significant place, or the mountain of God, as it's called here. This is a place, by the way, that we see in chapter 3, verse 1, where Moses encounters God at the burning bush. That's where they meet. In verse 15 of chapter 3, that place is called Holy Ground, or the Holy Ground, as the Lord meets with Moses in that space. So in this is the place that where God meets with Moses face to face, and so it is significant. And I think one of the reasons for this is because Moses has not seen his brother for over 40 years. And there's a whole lot to catch up on. And of course, Aaron being the oldest, and now Moses has kids, and there would be a whole bunch for them to catch up on. But they are meeting in a sacred space. They're not meeting at a coffee shop. And so the Lord is preparing Aaron to meet with Moses. And the place where they will meet and have this important, necessary conversation, not centering on how's mom doing, but now centering on the word and will of the Most High God. And so God meets with them in the place where their bloodlines are secondary to their being bound to the will and word of Almighty God. They are meeting them. God allows them to meet in the sacred space of God's mountain. Now, even if Aaron doesn't get the significance of it, Moses does. Moses understands this is the place. The last time I was here, there was a bush that didn't burn, and the Almighty God met with me in the flames. So it's a sacred space. And so, therefore, this space is a sacred space for a special occasion. This meeting reinforces the fact that they will be functioning, not just as brothers in arms. Their bloodlines are less important in this space, in this assignment, than the fact that they have both been called by God for God's purpose. So therefore, God lets them meet on the mountain of God. In other words, their conversation will be driven by God's word and God's will. There will be plenty of time to catch up later. You'll find out how the Raiders are playing. They'll find all of that out later if they've managed to do better. But here, it's sacred space. Sacred space for sacred assignment. And so this is not just little brother Moses and big brother Aaron. These are two messengers of God meeting in a sacred space as they prepare to carry out the will of God. But here's the third thing. Notice in verse 28, it says that Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. So there would be no confusion, so that there would be no misunderstanding on the part of Aaron. God allows Moses to speak to Aaron everything that he's heard. So he is reiterating everything that the Lord has spoken to him when he met with him at this assignment. Told him all the things that he would say to Pharaoh. Showed him all the signs that God had told him that he would perform. So everything that Moses has received up to that point, he communicates it to Aaron. That's important. Now, hold in mind, at this point in this first meeting, it's only two people. It's two people who knew each other, two people who have been called by the same God to be involved in the same task. God has a way of putting us on the same page. And when we find ourselves on a different page, maybe we need to question whether or not it's God who turned the page. But in any event, the Lord uses Aaron as he had already told Moses that he would. And so now God is fulfilling his word in preparing Aaron. Aaron is being prepared to meet to do the task that he's been assigned to perform as it relates to the deliverance of the people. And at this point, what is taking place is Aaron hears Moses testify of the terrifying experience of encountering God in the burning bush. The command that he's been given with his commission, he performs the signs and wonders, and they're doing it on the mountain of God. There's your first meeting. Aaron and Moses need to be on the same page, and God allows it to happen. Here's the second meeting. The second thing to note is, not only are we told that Aaron and Moses meet, but in verse 29, it says, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all of the elders of the people. Moses and Aaron, so now they are leaving the mountain of God. And they probably go into the region of Goshen, which is the area occupied by the Israelites in Egypt, just on the outskirts. And so now they gather with all of the elders. Now the elders consisted of the tribal and family leaders, and they were also considered the spiritual leaders of their respective tribes and their respective families. And understand that as it relates to this large group of people, it was the elders that represented the word and will of God to their individual families and the people collectively. So it was the elders. And so God allows Moses and Aaron to meet together. And then Aaron and Moses first meet with the elders. Why? Because they are going to go before the people. Moses and Aaron are going to go before the people declaring the word and will of God. And as far as the people know up to this point, the representatives of the word and will of God were the elders. So now God prepares the elders for Moses and Aaron meeting in front of the people. In other words, which is, I think, again, something that's healthy, something that needs to be reminded. The people trusted the judgment of the elders when it came to things concerning the word of God. So rather than just let Moses show up just out of the blue and say, hey, guys, it's been a minute. It's been 40 years now, but I got a word from the Lord. No, that thing has got to be vetted. And understand that at this point, Aaron is just Aaron. He is of the tribe of the Levites, which means he would be one of the leaders in worship, but he's not one of the elders. So at this point, if the people, and there's safety to this, there's something healthy to this. The people are going to hear two individuals say what God is saying. And the elders have a responsibility of vetting those individuals. It's not just, you know, I know people think that we live in the days where, Lord, we just do anything. Lord, just telling me. I remember a friend of mine, Bob Godfrey, when he was president of Westminster Seminary, they had a dedication service for the new chapel. And during the service, some resident preacher wanted to stand up and have a word that the Lord had given him. And Dr. Godfrey told him to sit down. Because, no, that's not how this works. This is a particular ceremony, and he wouldn't, and they had to call the police on it. Because you don't just come in off the street, oh, I have a word from the Lord for you. No, you don't. Because, number one, we know it's not of the Lord, because that's not how he works. He wouldn't call elders and teachers and pastors and then call someone off the street to come in and say, no, that whoever stands here has to be vetted. That ought to be the case. Not just because your cousin or somebody that he preached at you. No, all of it, before you stand here, you need to be vetted. So the religious leaders, the face and voice of the will and word of God for the people of God had been the elders, and they had not seen Moses for over 40 years. They had not seen Aaron in this capacity. So the Lord lets Aaron meet with Moses first in the sacred space of the mountain of the Lord to be brought up to speed on the word and will of God that God has spoken to Moses for Aaron. And then Aaron gathers all of the religious, all of the elders, brings them together for this sacred assembly, this sacred gathering, where Aaron and Moses would pre-perform for them or declare for them what thus says the Lord. See, it doesn't say that it's a separate meeting, but I think the wording of it indicates it, because it says first that they called the elders together. All of the elders of all of the children of Israel were first called together. And even though it doesn't give us the details that we have at the meeting of Aaron and Moses, and later the meeting with Moses and Aaron and all of the people, one can assume that God, even though he's working through the human vehicle of Moses and of Aaron, is respecting the office of the elders, the tribal family elders of the children of Israel. Because before Moses and Aaron speaks to the people, they speak to the elders. Brothers and sisters, that's just common sense. It does make sense. We all mean something different. Well, not we all, but many people mean something different when we use the same name of God and sometimes use the same source. If there are elders in place, then what is to be spoken needs to be vetted by the elders, because ultimately the elders are accountable for the word that is spoken or taught in there to those that they have oversight of. I've often said over the years, I'm not responsible for what you eat. I'm only responsible for what I feed you. Now, if I feed well and you don't eat that, that's on you. But if you've gotten some junk from somewhere, don't blame me. I can't take credit for everything that you eat. Because we know that we eat sometimes from off the somewhere other than the menu. But I am responsible for what I feed. So therefore, when Moses and Aaron stood and spoke before the people, then the elders had to be on board with it. Not that they had to approve, they just had to hear what the people would hear. Because they are the visible, and I love the way the Lord does it. He does it in a way that honors the unique office of the elders, gathers them together, and they meet. Well, that brings us to the third meeting. Because the third meeting, which I suggest is implied in verse 30, where it says that And Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did signs in the sight of the people. So there's one more layer. The Lord prepares Aaron for Moses, and he prepares Moses and Aaron by allowing them to first present to the elders, and then they speak to the people. Now you notice that, notice the transition also. The Lord speaks to Aaron, and then Moses speaks to Aaron, and then Moses and Aaron speak to the elders, and now Aaron is speaking to the people. So, because pretty much Moses is going to be standing in the back. I don't know if his arms would be folded or not. But he would speak to Aaron, and then Aaron would speak on his behalf. And so the people have not seen a spectacle like this. So the elders, having got a preview of it, here's the way that is going to go. And they present Moses and Aaron to the people, and then Aaron has a word from for the people. And you notice, I would say that you can surmise this meeting or summarize this meeting along three lines. We can surmise, first off, that the elders are the ones that gathered the people. Aaron gathered the elders. The elders gathered the people. And when the elders gather the people, they present them to Moses, and then Aaron does most of the speaking, and that's because he is to Moses like a prophet, and Moses is to him like a God. There are three critical things that I think are said here. Number one, it says that Aaron says all that the Lord has said. So what Aaron speaks is what Moses has told him. But here's the bottom line. The words of God, or the words of Moses through Aaron, are no less than the word of God. That's what they're hearing, the word of God. This is what God has said. In fact, in verses 15 and 16, the Lord says this is the way it would pass. It would come to pass that Moses would speak to Aaron, and he would speak to the people, and they would believe. So therefore, Aaron speaks, and the people are hearing the word of God. Notice again the chain. God has spoken to Aaron. Aaron has met with Moses. Moses and Aaron have met with the elders. The elders have vetted the fact that this is indeed from God. And then they give the platform to Aaron, who speaks as Moses is standing in the back. And what the people are hearing is nothing less than the word of God. God is speaking to them through the human instrument of both Moses and Aaron. And so what they hear is God himself speaking. Second thing to note, having seen the signs and having seen the wonders and having heard the word, we are told that the people believed. It's interesting because chapter 4 opens with Moses saying, what if the people don't believe me? And the Lord says, they will believe you. And if they don't believe the words that you say, in verses 1 through 8, he makes that point. If they don't believe the words that you say, then they will believe the signs that are performed through you. And so what takes place is Moses stands in the back. The Lord speaks to Moses, who speaks the word to Aaron, and Aaron speaks on behalf of God and Moses. This is a warm-up for Pharaoh. So they speak. Moses is the one who has the word from God. Moses is the one who speaks, and Aaron takes the word spoken by Moses and delivers it to the people. Now, both Moses and Aaron have been vetted by the elders. And then the strength of their words are validated by the signs and wonders that the Lord has allowed them to perform. But here's the third and final thing. Notice what they actually hear. The word of the Lord that summarized, or as it summarized to them, what they hear is that the Lord has visited them. And that the Lord himself has promised to deliver them. But I love the way it expresses it, that he has seen their afflictions. That the Lord has visited them. Whatever else God says to Moses or says through Moses and Aaron, what the people have heard about their God, what they've heard from their God, is that he's with you. That you are not alone in your suffering. That what they hear is they've been visited by God. And I love that phrasing because it indicates that God, that the people themselves, even as God spoke to Moses on the backside of a desert, he's visiting the people who are in the midst of Egyptian affliction by calling a servant and preparing him to go and meet their oppressor. And so God has visited with the people in making preparations for their salvation. But not only has he visited with the people, the Lord has also seen their afflictions. It doesn't always feel like it. It doesn't always seem like it. But we're not just giving little empty phrases when we say the Lord is with you. When we say the Lord knows, he knows. And God gathers his people, and what is the assignment of Moses and Aaron to these people of affliction is God's continuing message to those that he has delivered through his son. That God has visited you. He has visited you in the flesh. He has sent forth his son, and his spirit says he has tabernacled amongst us. And what God says to his people in the midst of their suffering, his covenant people, is the same thing that he says to these children of Israel. They have still more time in bondage. The road to freedom is not going to be easy. They have 40 years to deal with God in the wilderness. But yet, here's the message that the Lord has through Moses and Aaron. Not only has he visited them, but he has seen your affliction. Now hold in mind, because as we see the next encounter, and when Moses first goes to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh is going to deepen the workload. But that's why these words are so important right here, right now. Because when Moses goes out and he delivers this message to Pharaoh, he's going to assume, because Moses is going to say, God says, let my people go. And here's what Pharaoh is going to say. And he's going to say, let them go so they can worship. And Aaron and Pharaoh is going to say, then they must have too much time on their hands. And he's going to increase their workload. So they need to hear this at this moment. That God has visited you. And don't let the afflictions of your past or the afflictions of the present make you think that somehow he is no longer with you. God has visited you. And he's seen your affliction. He has sanctified every difficulty that will be laid on you has been sanctified by God in a sense. It will have temporal repercussions, but it is to strengthen God's people. I love this. You see, what's going to take place in chapter 5 is evidence of the hardened heart of Pharaoh. He's going to buck against the will of God. It's going to increase the temporal affliction of the people of God. But it doesn't change the fact that God has visited them. And that God has seen their affliction. And that they are seen by God as his firstborn child. And as his firstborn, not just his firstborn child, his firstborn son. And therefore, there is nothing that God will not do for the well-being of his firstborn. Brothers and sisters, what we see here is a model of how God continues to minister to his people through those that he has appointed to declare the word. That word is vetted by those whom God has appointed so that the word of God delivered to his people in any given situation is the fact of his deliverance. And his deliverance is in the person of his son. Therefore, for you, we come here to hear that God has visited us and that he's seen our afflictions. Now, notice the response to this. The people, first off, the people believe. When they hear the word of God through Moses and then through Aaron, they hear the word and they believe. And not only do they believe, they bow their head in worship. God has prepared Moses and he prepares Aaron. God sends Moses and Aaron through the vetting committee, which is the elders. The elders speak on behalf of Moses and Aaron and present them to the people. And God speaks. And when he speaks to the hurts of his people. And when he speaks the substance of his provisions for his people. And when he speaks, his people bow their heads in worship. Another thing, the reason this stands out to me is there are other places where God's people hear his word. And we know that in some places they drop to their knees. And then in Nehemiah, when the word had been lost and the word was found and they hear the word, or when they were building on the walls, rebuilding the walls, and they were hearing the word as the word is opened to them and explained to them, they cried and they worshiped. But here, they simply bow their heads in humble reverence. And the thing that I like about it is they are bowing as a sign of reverence and respect in the presence of the king of their king, their great God and king. And they bow. Sometimes we get so caught up in the externals of human emotions that we forget the importance of being in the presence of the sacred. So that we don't, it's not like we're cheering at a pep rally. We're in the presence of the most holy God. And so can you imagine what's taking place here? That these two brothers, these strangers come out of nowhere, the elders say they have something to say from God. And what they have to say is the Lord has visited you and he's seen your afflictions, and they go on to announce that he will deliver you from the hand of Pharaoh. And they hear this, a people who thought that they had not been seen, and a people who thought they'd not been heard. God is affirming that I've seen you and I hear you. And here's what I'm going to do. Now, don't overlook the fact that a few verses later, they're going to be, well, wait a minute, where is he? No, don't lose this moment. They hear from God and they drop their heads in solemn reverence to the God who has seen them, who has heard them, and who has pledged himself to them. And I pray that when we hear God's word opened up to us, when his message of salvation is given to us, when his declaration that he is with us even until the end of the age, that when we hear it, it may not be, we may not respond with high fives. We may not give a hip hip hooray. But I pray that we would bow both head and heart, realizing that our plight is in the hand of the sovereign God of history, who moves on the hearts of others to make his will effective for those that he has loved. Brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord, he hears you. He sees you. And he's visited you in the person of his Son. Let that be our joy. Let that be our comfort. And let that be our consolation. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you in the blessed name of our Savior again, thanking you for the gift of another Lord's Day, another opportunity for us to gather, to hear your word, to sing Zion songs, to meet with our brothers and sisters. We pray that everything that we've heard would edify us. We do trust you by your Spirit that you would give us the ability to comprehend these things and connect them to your greater word to us of salvation through Christ. Thank you for those who are present. Thank you for those that you've given ears to hear, those who will hear that maybe not as of yet know you. We pray that before it's everlasting too late, you would give them ears to hear and the ability to respond to your holy word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand? Now unto him who was able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be power, majesty, and dominion, both now and forever. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Hey, how you doing? Hey, April.